Blog Talk Radio.
You're tuned in to Let's Talk Urban with host Felicia Bradshaw
at Urban Grapevine Magazine Project.
Your number one source for the hottest author in urban fiction talk. Get put on. Book it at let's.talk.urban1@gmail.com. Boom!
Good evening, listeners. Tonight's show is starting a little bit early. We're going to call this segment the pre-show. And in regards to some things that are taking place with Let's Talk Urban One, I'd like to get that out. And then we'll plug in Treasure Boo, and he will talk e-bookology with Forever Ed. Author from South Carolina, she's a native from South Carolina, and a mom to four children, and she has been popping books out like crazy. So we should enjoy that conversation with Treasure and Forever Red. But for the moment, I'd like to discuss some things that are, like I said, are going to be taking place with Let's Talk Urban and a Let's Talk Urban project, which is Urban Grapevine Magazine. We have so much going on in our camp that it is getting really hectic in here. But it's a blessing to be hectic, and it's a blessing to be able to keep moving forward regardless to life. As far as death in my family, all the way to people experience and transitions in their careers, such as Shadress Denise, who is now the co-owner of Urban Grapevine Magazine. She also will be stepping into co-ownership of Let's Talk Urban Radio 1. We will be revising, upgrading, and updating all of our all of the stations and shows, from Penetration After Dark to The Blueprint. We also have a children's storytelling show with author VSG, which is Vanessa Santiago German, and she is our host for Bedtime Babies. We also have the Nanosecond coming back next weekend with Dr. Katia Samuel. And the Nanosecond is a show about progress in life, progress in Christ. Where never is never an option. And then we also have a new show that you guys are going to just straight love. And it is Siren's Lair. And get familiar with this name, because Siren is the reviewer of all reviewers. She will be laying it down, spicing it up as far as reviews, book talk. She'll be bringing on authors. She'll be running her show strictly on a call-in, call-out basis. This is going to be something really different. You guys are going to love it. Make no mistake that Siren's Lair will be talked about amongst authors, publishers. You'll be able to reach her to discuss having book reviews posted. She is also our senior reviewer for UGMAG Readers and UGMAG UGMagazine, period. We also have Let's Talk Urban coming back with, for right now, the host is myself. I've been hosting this show for a minute. It is the root of Let's Talk Urban Radio 1. I am also looking for a show host. And Let's Talk Urban will be have a different spin to it this time. We are going to try our hands at some daytime radio. We will be broadcasting just like 98.7 does. For those familiar with that New York station, we will have music, interviews, talk, guests, rap battles, poetry slams, you name it. If it's urban, we're going to talk about it, we're going to do it. And that show's on Mondays. I'll shoot down the spiel on what days the station shows fall on, and their emails, and how to get in touch with the host, how to send a Book It Now email, which is to let's.talk.urban@gmail.com. And if you guys want to be able to come on the show, or even if you have an idea for the show, you can go to www.urbangrapevinemag.com. That's our website for the magazine. Also, there will be a tab added for Let's Talk Urban and the shows that will hold the archive for shows so you guys never miss out on anything. And you can subscribe to our newsletter that we shout out. We shout out authors, up and coming shows. And you name it, and we shoot it out to about on average 2,000 industry related emails, from readers to bloggers to publishers to authors themselves. You name it, and we shoot it out. The magazine is going to also have its own station, and it won't be on Let's Talk Urban, but it will be in the family of Let's Talk Urban. Like I said, it will have its own station, and we are going to be taking on another project, and it will be Team UGMAG, and we are looking for writers. We are looking for interns. So if you want to see how the magazine business is ran, from gathering interviews and seeking out cover stories and talking to publicists, getting your feet wet in the industry of media, period. We're not just talking urban fiction, we're talking media. If you want to get your feet wet in the media industry, from dealing with publicists and trying to book people on the show and the radio show and get feature stories out there from our front covers, which you guys are going to be really excited about what we put out for Team Mag. You got some kids out there that you're like, hey, my daughter, my son, my niece, my nephew, you know, whoever loves writing or has this love for hip hop, he is hip hop, then they can send a email to CEO@UrbanGrapevineMag.com, and we will go over letters of intent. So just send a letter and say, hey, my name is such and such, I'm this years old, I got an idea for a column, or what are the requirements. It will shoot all the information you need back out to you within 48 hours. We are also looking for some interns to work for UGMAG 3, period. And UGMAG 3 is Urban Grapevine Mag, which is the base. And the 3 stands for the 3 entities, which is publishing, publicity, and media. So we're going to cover everything. Urban Grapevine Mag is about to take a turn that you guys won't believe. You know, I guess everybody wants to claim that, you know, it's their season, the time is now. But, and sometimes it is our season, but within the season, we are being seasoned. I don't know if that makes sense to you guys, but it's prep. prepper for the season. It's like layaway. It's like shopping for your winter coat because you know winter's coming. So it's when you suit up, you'd be prepared. When that first snowstorm hit, you just got to reach in the closet. You ain't got to worry about your fingertips or your back or your head being cold because you covered it. And I think that's what this was for Urban Grapevine because, I thought last year was my season. And it was. It was a season for preparatory. It was prep for what is to come today, what is to come right now for this year and Urban Grapevine Magazine. And it was to join alliances with Shadrach's Denise. It was to be able to build a team. I'm talking about street team, writing team, sales team, distribution team. We will prevail. We're not just going to prevail. We are going to succeed, and we are going to keep achieving success. It's almost like repetitious speaking. You want to say redundant, but it's so fresh that it don't matter if it's redundant. We are going to double up everything that we do. So if you want to join our team and you want to be a part of this, because I'm telling you it is going places, you can log on to www.urbangrapevinemag.com and send us an email in our subscribe box, and we will add you to our VIP list if you want to be added to our VIP list. I'm noticing some people only want certain information, but they don't want the monthly or the weekly or catch-up. So if you don't want the monthly, the weekly catch-up, please let us know, because I'm really not trying to invade anybody's inboxes to the point where you guys are getting frustrated or unsubscribing due to that reason. So, you guys, I want you to be able to make sure that this is what you want to do. Only the serious need to inquire. Forgive me, crying. Only the serious need to say, hey, I'm interested. You know, interest doesn't mean, hey, I'll take it. Interest means shoot me some information so I can go over it because you're curious about doing this because this is something that you would love to do. So I'm hoping that we catch some of the best interns. My intern family has started already, and we've got some good people up on here that are really hungry and dedicated and really want to know the industry. And I'm not trying to keep you. I'm not trying to adopt you. I'm trying to get you into the know. Whether you stay with us, it's up to you. You understand, I am so highly favored and so blessed to be able to be a stepping stone, so to speak. Some people might not like helping and people, you know, take a step forward away from you more so than grounding your feet within our own company. But that's fine because I think there's enough readers out here for everyone. It's the power of choice, and it's his business, folks. And if you want to join our team, or if you just want to learn, say that. So you know what, Felicia, I know I'm not going to be here long because I'm really trying to do my own thing. But I'm willing to dedicate some time to you to help you get stuff going so that I can get stuff going. There's nothing wrong with the truth. You know what I mean? There's something wrong with the lie. So if you got ill intentions, don't even bother. If you got ill intentions and you want to tell me you got ill intentions, tell me you got ill intentions. Tell me, like, I'm coming in here to learn what I need to learn, but then I'm out. You understand? And I'm going to say, okay, I'm going to teach you this much. And do your homework on the rest and be out. I'm not offended by growth. I'm not offended by people seeking growth. So I am really hoping that the turnout for Urban Grapevine Magazine is a success. The links for that and the opportunity to get all information online will be in June. But you can send an inquiry. I guess it would be a pre-inquiry now. And I'd be willing to have our editor-in-chief, which is LaQuisha Malone. She's super. Do you hear me? She's like super. She runs Strawberry Publications. And if you want to get on the adult version of Urban Grapevine Magazine, that would be with our new editor-in-chief, Teresa Mason Brown. I am so thankful to have her on our team. So make sure that you guys make that happen for her and support her, and anything that you need to know to Urban Grapevine 3@gmail.com in regards to submissions. We do have a interns at UrbanGrapevineMag.com for anybody who wants to send an intern inquiry out. We have a show. It's about to start in approximately 10 minutes. But like I said, I wanted to come on here and shoot the shit with you guys and let you know where we're at and where we're going. We also shoot live. We shot live People Talk, and it was in regards to back to the basic, and at a time when there was a Big Mama watching, and that will be up on YouTube very soon. It's in editing right now. You guys, I think you're gonna appreciate it. And we're also gonna take it to the streets in July, and we're going to have a live video footage with Penetration After Dark, Sex Therapy. They're gonna go take it to the streets, and they're gonna get people's opinions on the world of sex today. And Let's Talk Urban is going to take it to the streets, and Pillow Talk is going to take it to the streets. So I think this is going to be a really great season for us. It's going to be a good year. It's going to be a good year. So I would appreciate if you guys linger on. We're going to play some music until 5 p.m. Pacific time, which would be, I think, 7 Central and 8 Eastern. Treasure Blue show starts at 8 p.m. I can't wait for you guys to get a grip on this ebookology. I thank you for listening to the pre-intro to the show. And much love to you guys. And the next voice you will hear will be Treasure Blue's.
But you gotta get up. come prepared to find. You never know where the road leads you. Not everyone's on a good lead. And even though they're wrong, don't prove right. I'd rather stand tall.
Thank you. was trapped before life removed all the innocence my father would left behind, and dance with my mother and me, and then spin me around till I fell. And I knew for sure I was loved. If I could get another chance, another walk, another dance with him, I'd play a song that would never ever end. How I'd love, love, love
tonight. Our show will be Treasure Blue as the host for the Blueprint, and he's going to talk e-bookology with Forever Red. Treasure Blue, you on?
Yes, I'm here, Flea. What's good?
I'm all right.
Hey.
I'm doing. All right. Well, I'm going to pull in Authoress Red, Forever Red, right now, and you can get it locked. Good evening, Forever Red.
Hello.
How are you?
Hey.
I am fine. How are y'all?
What's going on, Forever?
Nothing
I love
much.
That name.
Thank you, y'all.
I
thank y'all so
name.
Much for having me.
Oh, I'm happy to have you here.
Thank you. Oh,
okay,
I'm so excited. Treasure Blue, you're on my bookshelf. You're one of my authors, sir.
That's wonderful. Authors supporting authors.
Absolutely.
Okay. So let's start it off like this. Tell us a little bit. Forget all that smiley stuff. Tell us the reason why you started writing books. That's the first thing I ask all my authors. Why did you become a published author? Why did you want to write?
Because I feel like I have a story to tell. And I know everybody feels like they got a story to tell, but I have a bunch of stories to tell. I have a wild imagination, and I like to use it. But as far as when I said, okay, boom, that's it, I'm going to become a published author, I was at a really low point in life, and I couldn't find anywhere else to channel that negativity. So I started putting pen to paper, and then I was like, hey, maybe I can do this. Let's give it a shot.
Got you. I was reading your bio, and what's very interesting, I go by the philosophy that you don't choose writing, but writing chooses you.
Yes.
It says here in your bio that, what is this, in the fourth grade?
Yes. I won a Lieutenant Governor's Award, yes.
Come on now. Talk to me about that one now. Talk to me about that one.
Okay. With this particular award, it wasn't anything that had to do with the state, but at that particular time during the school year, we were writing little papers about the oldest person that we knew. And at the time, I had grandparents, and the oldest person that I knew was my grandmother. So I wrote a paper about my grandmother and how influential she is in my life. It probably didn't come out like that when I was in the third, fourth grade. Probably didn't come out like that, but the gist of it was still there. And I guess the passion in my words, and I was chosen. I didn't win anything fancy. I just got a little ribbon and got into the fair free, and then they announced my name. You know, but nothing big, but it was a really big deal back then.
No, my sister, let me stop you. That was huge. That was phenomenal.
To me, of course.
Know what I mean? And you absorb every right that goes with that. That's phenomenal. That's outstanding.
Thank you.
It just, like I say, you know, I believe, as far as myself, that I never knew I had any writing skills. I knew I was good with words and, you know, a good liar. But, you know, when I went to the military at 17, I was, you know, the company wordsmith. I used to write these letters, you know, embellishing them to my fellow soldiers, loved ones who couldn't express themselves. For a fee, of course. So, even though I got later start than you, but I can relate to that. And that's phenomenal. Third grade, wow. You know what I mean? Hello?
Yes, sir. I do. Can you not hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Okay.
You still here? Talk to me.
Yes, sir. No, I was just listening. And you know what? It's always a plus to hear somebody else give you a pat on the back about things that you have done. So I greatly appreciate that, sir.
Oh, it just started. Now, let's go back. Let's go back to when you decided to pick up the pen in hopes of becoming a published author. How did that come about?
Well, don't kill me, okay? But a couple years ago, I was a member of a group on social media, Facebook, of course, and I watched as a lot of authors within this group, they grew, and I watched the support and the encouragement that they gave each other, and I was just like, oh, man. It was just so uplifting. It was just a really nice little group to be a part of, and I was a part of that group, and I felt like...
Come on, call names. We call names on this show.
Oh, we do? It was the Bankroll Squad.
Okay.
And I really admired what they had going on as a company, as well as friends, as well as associates. And honestly, that's what made me decide to give it a try.
Okay, we all got to get our start from somewhere. It's my motivation, our inspiration. There's nothing wrong with that. Speak up. I mean, you know, we can get it from a 8-year-old or 80-year-old. It doesn't matter. You know, you got it.
Right.
So go ahead.
Go ahead and what?
No, continue. So what happened after that?
Well, shortly thereafter, I went through the full process of getting my work started. And I wrote the book or the original Sleeping in Heaven. You may or may not know this, but Sleeping in Heaven with Cash is actually a revised edition from the Sleeping in Heaven with Zitro Publications.
From what?
Zitro Publications, Divine Ortiz, is the publisher for them. Okay,
I know the brother.
Okay, well, after I had my manuscript complete, I was ready. Strike while the iron is hot. Right now, let's do it. And unfortunately, I wasn't aware that there's a process. You know, with levels to this stuff. So
say that again. Say that to the people that's listening.
It's a process. There's levels to this stuff. I didn't want to curse, but so yeah, and I wanted to jump the gun. I didn't want to go through the process. I wanted to go now. So I stepped outside of my personal relationship within the Bankroll Squad group, and I found Divine Ortiz in Zitra Publications. At the time, he was a brand spanking new publisher, and he was like, hey, you want your work out there? Let's put it out there. And I was like, yes, let's do it. And that's how that went. And somewhere during the course of my time with Divine Ortiz, Cash, who was also a friend of mine, where – just, you know, Facebook friends.
He's been around for years. I've got much respect for Cash.
Absolutely, me too. And so he came. I had a little situation. He came to me to help me out with the situation. When he did his portion, basically I ended up signing with him. And that was the end of that. After I completed my contract with Cash, I was like, I want to go out on my own. And that's what everybody wants to do. They want all of the proceeds, all of the benefits. Everybody wants that. So that's what I did. I jumped out there on my own, and I put out Freakism, which was released on March 28th. I put that out as an indie author. Thank you. on the same token, I guess about 2 weeks ago, I did sign with Pleasure Principle Publications and Raymond Francis. I signed with them about 2 weeks ago. So that's my whole literary career.
Wow. Okay, so, you know, let me say this. I started off myself as a self-published author. You know, I tried in vain to read, research, ask questions. I'm talking about I was actually anal. And after all that, I still made mistakes. I lost possibly more money than any single author in this business. Yeah. And I say that to say that never look at the situation that you've been through as a dark patch. You look at that as a bridge, a catalyst to get you where you at today. So it was meant to be. You know what I mean? So,
yes, sir.
You know, I mean, that's just publishing in just about any business is a process. So I actually run a group called, me and Keisha Green, we run a group called Author Supporting Authors. It's been around for maybe 4 years because I learned all the perils and the mistakes that authors made, and we started this group, you know, assisting a lot of people that you know went through that group when they was babies. They was embryos. Mm-hmm. And they worked hard and got their name out there. Some of them was very successful, and I admire. Some of them I don't because of their practices, but to each his own. Now, that said, if you can tell the listeners, the new authors and aspiring authors, a little bit of advice, that one pertinent advice that you wish you could have a do-over and you would just suggest to anybody, what would that be?
I don't look for any do-overs. So, you know, if it happened, it happened. You know, you can't restart life. But if I had to tell somebody just the one thing that I think will take you wherever you're trying to go, and that's don't give up. I mean, do not, under no circumstances, give up. You figure, I am a brand new author. And I consider myself brand new because I haven't even been in the game 2 years. And
right.
I've been published six times. Yeah, I've been published six times. And, of course, I'm not where I want to be yet, but I'm coming. And you know, from five-star review to one-star review, or to you like me so you like my work, or you don't like me so you don't care for my work, whatever the case, I'm not going to stop. Because I assure you, there is somebody somewhere that will like to have the Forever Red experience.
Got
so
you.
That's for me, and I feel like that about anybody. If you feel like this is something you want to do and you can do it, then do it to the best of your ability.
Okay, well said, well spoken. That was well spoken, my sister. You're very articulate, I must add.
Thank you.
Okay. I'm going to piggyback off of what you just said. You said that you're not where you want to be. Where do you want to be, and how do you expect to get there?
Well, I don't have, I don't have billion-dollar dreams because I know what I'm working with, and it's definitely not $1 billion. So as far as where I want to be, I want to be able to comfortably eat while I do what I enjoy doing. That's it. I don't have to have a big fancy car or a big fancy house. I'm fine. I live in the country. I'm totally fine with what I have. But I would like to know that my kids eat and they eat comfortably. Now, where I want to go as far as my writing, I would like for people to know who Forever Red is, and not because somebody said it or because they listened to Treasure Blue, but because they actually took the time out to flip through a page or two, because I assure you, there is something in everything that I've written that somebody knows about.
Okay. Well, okay. Okay, you know, I'm just like I'm going to give you those good questions, I'm going to give you some hard questions also. Now, when I asked you about how do you expect to get there and you answered that you want to eat, support your family. Now,
right.
Do you, in your history, you signed with a lot of people.
Yes.
Okay. How do you or feel you're going to grow if you don't change positions? Because I've seen a lot of authors come into the business, they sign with companies just like you, thousands of them, and they became liberated from frustration or just wanting more. They went out on their own. Why aren't you or are you thinking about going on your own? Because you want to grow, but this is an e-book market now.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And mm-hmm. it's good for the money. However, it's not really good for the growth. And when I talk about good for the growth, we're talking about it's a world outside of e-books. It's
absolutely.
Book signing. You know what I mean? And things like that. I'm from the old school, and I started off.
I know.
You know, paperbacks and things like that. So I know both sides of it. So I'm posing that question to you. How do you expect to get bigger, better, your name out there, a bigger audience if you continue signing with people? Do you plan on ever going out there on your own?
Absolutely. First, let me say this. With my very first publisher, I had no clue. I had no clue about anything. And because I had no clue, I said to this man, hey, here's this manuscript. Do what you do so that it can be out, okay? That is exactly what he did and put it on out there.
Right.
I'm sorry, I'm sitting on the porch. Okay, that was the first go-round. When I stepped over to Cash, Cash was a little more advanced than Devine Ortiz, and advanced as far as, I mean, the name, as far as his association with the people that he's associated with. He's a fairly well-known guy. So it was a step above. So quite naturally, I'm going to do whatever it is that I need to do to make that step above. So I took another step And once I did what I did with Cash, and just like you said, people go off on their own because they're frustrated, or that's how they're searching for their liberation. They've had enough. Okay, you're right, I did. So I said, boom, I'm going to do this myself. But when I did it myself, which I put out, like I said, Freakism, I put it out by myself. And it was, for me, it was difficult. It was difficult in
the
sense.
It was what?
It was difficult. It was difficult as far as there was a financial strain. I will not lie to you. There was a financial strain as far as paying for an editor. You know, you said yourself, Mr. Blue, on a status one day, you said, if you like your editor, find a new one. So,
I remember that. Oh, wow.
I did too. And so rather than paying my homegirl, you know, $35 to look over and correct stuff that I should have known needed to be corrected in the first place, I chose to put out more than I wanted to so that I could have somebody tell me, this is all the stuff that you have done wrong.
Keep it real, sister.
Outside of that financial frustration or the financial strain of just paying for an editor, I needed a book cover, too. And I wanted a book cover that did not look like everybody else's. And I have a book cover that did not look like everybody else's. So there was the financial stress there. So for me in my life, because I choose to not have a 9-to-5, because I feel like this is what I'm supposed to be doing, and I will struggle until I have to no more. But I put it out there. Like I said, it was some financial strain. I don't want it. I don't want the financial strain. Whether I publish this myself or I have you publish it for me, you're still me going to have to pay for an editor. I'm still going to have to reimburse you for your cover. So one way or another, I'm going to have to pay for it. So people, as I stated the other night in an interview, people pay for convenience, cell phone, cable, Wi-Fi. People pay for convenience. So for me to have somebody put my work out there, it is a convenience. It's a convenience while I'm learning what it is that they're doing. And based off of what they have taught me and the studies that I've done myself, when I leave that particular company or that one over there or that one over there, I feel like I'll have what I need to have to put out my books by myself.
Okay.
If I can also piggyback off of something you said, too, you said, what do I do to get my name out there? Or it's not just about, it's other market. I'm one of those people that when I order books, because I do have paperbacks, when I order books, I bring the box into the house, I count the book, I take a picture of it, post it on Facebook, and then I put the box in my trunk. And every time my car stops, I'm in your face. And I'm in your face because how are you going to know if I don't tell you? So I have two books, whether I order 10 or whether I order 50. I give away two books to two random people, random, that I've never seen before, probably will never see again. But I give them to them.
That's called
hustle.
That's what I like. That's what I'm talking about. It's an ongoing thing. But for now, we got a caller on the line. Caller 614. Talk to us on the Blueprint with Author Forever Red.
Hey. What's up, Treasure? What's up, Red?
Hey, who's this?
Look, it's my low-key manager. It's my low-key manager.
Oh, come on.
Okay. You were good people. You should have picked your own
speaker. Absolutely.
That would have changed the whole dynamics of things. Go ahead, talk to them, Kiana.
What's going on?
Ain't nothing to it. She ain't new to this. She been around. God, come on, let me talk to us.
What's going on? You know, I was calling in just to show Forever Red my love and my support. You know, I support her anything she does, and I'm so proud of her. And I'm so proud of her for learning and listening and, you know, exploring and getting out there and hustling. Because she do, that's one thing she do. She get out there and hustle them books. You'll see her selling the book at the grocery store. Look at the gas station.
Treasure.
He's selling books in the meat department.
Thank you. Look, Treasure, Kiana came down here. I had a book release party back in March. Kiana came down here and stayed the weekend with me at my house. So she saw exactly how I get up and how I move about during the day. And I told her, I said, Q, the whole way here, I was thinking, what can I do with her? But then I thought about it, and I said, man, she came to see me, she gonna see what I do. So I took her barbershop, grocery store, gas station, and she'll tell you, yeah, I'm in your face. Buy my book if you don't do nothing else.
Go ahead now. Go ahead. You see, now you're speaking my language because I don't know. I'm going to pat myself on the damn back. I've been in this game since, what, 2002? And to this day, with the book hustle, the paperback, it's nobody out there that could touch me back then because I was a beast. Until J.M. Benjamin came along, boy, we was out there doing it. I'm telling you, that's what it's about. You know what I mean? My philosophy is this: where there's people, there's sales. So you get it.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Absolutely. My paperback sales always surpass my ebook sales, which is why I'm even able to stay at home. Because I really do get it. Really, really do.
There's nothing like paperback. You know, I'm not gonna really knock the ebook game. It's convenient. You know, people pay, like you said, read earlier, people pay for convenience. And that's exactly what the ebook crave is. But there's nothing like a paperback in your hand. The feeling of paper. All the papers and all paperbacks are different, and a real reader know that because you can feel it.
Treasure Blues paper feels like that Manila construction paper, like they used to give you when you first started writing.
Yes.
Okay, if I pull Treasure Blue off of my shelf right now, you will see the edges curved up, the sides are all bent. You will see that. That's how long I've had it and how many times I've read through his work.
That's what's up. That's what's up, but don't be dismissive. I profit greatly from ebooks. Are you kidding me? Ebook is that's like I got double jeopardy now. I got the name in, plus anything I put out, I'm gonna get at least 10. So, you know, the first month, you know what I'm saying. So I'm not mad at that. It's no fool. But we was on a subject, Kiana, of talking about, you know, breaking that ceiling to separate yourself from the average author these days. You see what I'm saying? And me, myself, I love tangibility. I love meeting readers. I love showing them my character, my personality, my animation. And that spread of word hustle, you know what I'm saying, is an amazing thing, you know? That's all we had. You got to understand, back in not too long ago, that was all we had, was no social media. It was word of mouth. Think about that.
Yeah, because, you know, I just found out, you know, just a couple years ago that you can buy books on Amazon. You know, I didn't, you know what I mean? I didn't know none of all that. All I knew was going to Barnes & Noble and buying books.
Yeah,
or
exactly.
Back in, you know, in Walden.
Exactly.
I'm a paperback lover. Treasure, I think I got almost 500 paperbacks.
And listen, when she came to my house,
it just had a room dedicated to it.
Look, Q, and she came to my house and said, you got a couple titles on your shelf that I don't have. And I was like, whoa, Kiana is the library, and she doesn't have something on my shelf? Oh yeah, I'm all for the Borders and the Waldens too. I'm an old school reader.
Kiana, let me ask you a question. Since you like the proverbial consummate reader, what attracted you about, you know, because I see this connection that you and her got. It's a little bit more than just, you know, the reader thing. I mean, it's a love thing. It's like, you know, And I
that's my homegirl.
Serious, that,
yes.
You know, it takes that. What is it about? Is it the character? Is it the writing? How did y'all meet? How did it come about?
You know what? This is the crazy thing about it. I'm gonna take it all the way back to the beginning.
Talk to me.
David L. Author David L. Shout out to David L. Put up a post.
Oh, David L., my man.
Put up a post. This was about, what, almost 2 years ago now? It's been almost about 2 years ago now.
Yeah, going on to.
Yeah, going on 2 years ago. And I forget what the post said. What the post say, Red?
Authors supporting other authors. This right
author
here
what?
Is one you should watch. I said authors supporting authors. This is one you need to watch. And he tagged a bunch of people in the post. And Tiana was one of the people that he tagged. And he sent me a friend request. And we just started talking from there.
I got you.
And we ended up going to Harlem Book Fair last year together, like meeting me from Ohio, her from South Carolina, and
uh-huh.
us, and a couple other people from other places. And then we ended up going to, what was next? D.C.?
Was it D.C.?
Mm-hmm.
Or, did you go to D.C.?
I think it was D.C. Yeah, I don't think it was D.C. I don't think it was D.C. for the OWL. Amalika's launch party. And then we end up going again in December to Atlanta for Nene Capri's birthday party.
Oh, wow.
So,
that's what I'm talking. That's life. That's
yes.
what I was just saying, that tangibility. It's nothing like meeting the authors, the readers in person. You can't get that over the internet. It's nothing
yes.
like people. Okay, right now I got another call up, so I'm going to take that. Call the 937. You're on the air.
Hello.
Hello. Introduce yourself.
It's Stacey Johnson Leonard.
Hey, Stacey.
Hi.
Talk
Hi.
To
Hi.
Us.
Hi. You have one of my, well, she's a part of the she's a part of the show too, Kiana. Hey, boo.
Hey, Stacey.
And then Miss Forever Red. Hi.
Hey.
And then hi, Treasure.
Hey, how you doing, Stacey?
I was just listening. It came across Facebook, and you said listen in, and I'm like, okay, well, I'll listen.
That's a beautiful
thank
thing.
You.
Are you enjoying the show?
Yes, I am. I am. I'm enjoying it.
Okay.
Anything that got to do with, you know, the literary world, I enjoy it, yes.
Make sure you take a little gander at Forever Red Work. You're going to be pleasantly surprised.
Yes.
Oh, I'm going to get it. Just like, you know, Miss Kiana is the librarian. She is the one that knows, you know, what's kind of good to read and what's not. And, you know, I know she's not going to mislead me as a reader and say, hey, get this, and it ain't no good. No.
Right.
If it ain't good, she's going to be like, mm-mm.
She's the professor.
You can get it if you want to, but I'm just telling you my opinion. Mm-mm.
Okay. Thanks for calling in. We have
thank
another
you so
caller.
Much.
Hi, Stacey.
Hey,
Stacey just got back. Me and Stacey just got back from D.C. from the Sister on Lit Book Festival a couple of weeks ago.
Okay.
Me and Stacey went to D.C. together. Oh, yes, we had a ball. And we're going to Atlanta next month for the awards.
Oh, that's beautiful. Take plenty of pictures, all right?
I'll be there.
All right, let me take the next caller. Caller 706. You're on the line with Treasure Blueprint. And Forever Red and Kiana.
Hey, Forever Red, how you doing?
Hey,
it's Cynthia Carey. This is another one of my readers.
Yes,
hey,
girl.
Hey, Q.
Hello.
Hello.
Oh, Q
hello.
Probably queued off. But
she don't go
to
us. Oh, Red, I'm just calling in to show my support. You know, I support you in everything you do, girl.
I know. Thank you so much. This
problem,
is another reader that has been with me since day one, from all of my publishers to, excuse me, my mistakes and my not-so-mistakes. She's been right there all the time. Thank you so much, Cynthia Kirby.
You're welcome, sweetie.
What's my sister's name again?
Cynthia Curry.
Cynthia?
Yes.
Cynthia, how you doing? And thanks for supporting us authors. I want to ask you a question, for and you can answer it for some of the listeners that haven't read Forever Red book. What was the best book, or better yet, what was the first book you read by Forever Red?
Sleeping in Heaven, Waking in Hell.
Tell us about that book.
Tell you about it? Well, it's a three-part series. I loved it. I loved it even better when she went over to Cash and had it redone.
Okay. 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 And that's given us a lot of information pertaining back to what Forever Red said about the editing, how it is for authors to have good editors, because I'm going to tell you something. When I self-published my first book, and we went over this thing for 2 days, had an editor, backed it up, and had like 8 eyes, did it, reviewed it page by page for 2 days, then sent it to the printer, and then lo and behold, we get the books back, and it's still about 2 or 3 typos in it, and it cuts like a knife.
Wow.
And you regret it. I'm talking about you're sick. I was sick for literally a month behind that.
Mm-hmm.
And I said to myself, I can't wait till I finish selling these 5,000 books so I can change it up so I can take those errors out. So it ain't even a factor of trying to cut corners and save money. It's a pride and personal thing that hurts. Am I right or wrong? I'm Forever Red. How did you feel?
You are so right. You are.
It hurts. It makes you look like a dunce. And then when you get those reviews and they talk about the editing, oh my God.
Yes. I actually went back and I read some of the very first book that I'd ever written, and that was Sleeping in Heaven, Waking in Hell with no G. But I went back and I read some of it, and I couldn't do anything but shake my head through each page. And I was just like, I cannot believe this. And I have a phenomenal editor for my series with Cash. Her name is Sean Walker. Big shout out to her. And and when I got back my manuscript from her, I was livid. I mean, I was so angry. And when I got it back, and the thing was that everything that she told me that I needed to fix, I went back to fix it based off of what she said, and I ended up rewriting pretty much the book. And when all of these people are coming like, oh, wow, this is great, this, that, and the other, and I'm like, wow. It's the most amazing feeling. And as a matter of fact, I was willing to sacrifice just to get back on that editor so that she could tear me apart yet once again and put me on the right track.
Absolutely. Why would you want that, my sister? Tell the authors out there, why would you want that?
And my editor actually told me this. When we first write our manuscripts, we write with our hearts. But what she does is she goes back and highlights what your head didn't see.
Wow, and, I like that.
Okay, me too. And, you know, and like I said, I read some of my first book, and I have to bow down to this lady. I mean, I really do, because that book wasn't so hot to me, and I wrote it, and I'm not ashamed to admit it. But, you know, the 2- and 3-star reviews, now that I've seen the difference with a good editor, the 2- and 3-star reviews were very well warranted.
Okay,
you know what I mean?
Great.
And it is what it is, but, you know, I've learned from it, if nothing else. So I think anybody else could, too. An editor is, like, big stuff.
Okay. Let's go sideways. Tell us some of those, your favorite authors that you came up with that when you read their work, you just get into a place, like, like in a zone. Who was? Give me some names of authors that would take you there.
I sure will. And I told you I'm old school, but it would have to be Quan, of course.
Okay.
And Keisha Irvin touches me deep down. So does Treasure Blue. Like I said, you're on my shelf. Caleb Alexander does me too.
I think that's one of the most underrated authors ever.
It is. It really is. And, you know, if you know Terry Woods, then you know Caleb Alexander. And
I used to hang out with Terry.
Okay. So there you go. That's going to be my list of who I know that I can go to them and just pick up their book and I'm good.
Right.
It's those people right there.
That's deep. That's deep. You see, I'm an author and I caught what you said. Those are authors that you can go back to.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? Because I do that all the time. You know what I mean? I just need that sometime. And if you go back and just read, I'll read about a dozen books before I start a new story just to get my proverbial juices flowing. Very important. Okay, so you say that you're with the new publisher. Who is this new publisher? Tell me about it. How did you job me?
His name is Raymond Francis. Pleasure Principal Publications is his claim to fame. As far as how we met, it's funny. I was looking for South Carolina authors, and I was looking for them, you know, simply because, hey, let's get together, let's do something. You know, we all right here in the area. And I ran across Raymond Francis. Social media, of course. I sent him a little message, and we kind of went back and forth a little bit. And I didn't know at the time that he was a publisher. I thought he was just a South Carolina author. As time went on, then he went ahead and, you know, gave me his business information, and it just kind of went from there. Good people.
Okay. So when did you get with the company, and did you put out a book now?
I just signed with them, like I said, probably 2 weeks ago.
Oh, okay. Okay. All right. That was quick.
It was very quick. But please know that I should be dropping here very pretty soon.
Okay.
With my new publisher.
Okay. Do you have a name for it yet?
I do. And the name of it is Nightmares in Pink.
Ooh, I like that. Now, since you said that title, something clicked in my head. I wasn't fortunate enough to read any of your work. I read your bios, I read things like that.
Mm-hmm.
But tell me the thesis of, you know, of your stories. What type of protagonists and antagonists that you write about? What is your passion?
Okay. Well, let me go ahead and let you know, since you said you hadn't had a chance to look into my work. Now, when you're reading those 12 books before you drop a new series, if you don't mind, I would be so honored if you drop Forever Red in there, too. I'm just saying.
Okay.
Now.
Okay. I got you. I'm going to up you, Sister Regardless. You on my radar that much more now. So you're in good standing.
Okay, well, as far as my writing, here's the thing. Sleeping in Heaven is a contemporary fiction series. It is hello?
I'm right here.
Oh, okay. I thought I heard somebody talking to me. Okay. Sleeping in Heaven, Waking in Hell. It is a 3-part series. The gist of it is everyday life.
maybe a little bit of my life, maybe a little bit of your life. But like I said, it's something in there that everybody can relate to in the sense of they know somebody that knows somebody, et cetera. So it's basically a couple, and they have two friends. So it's four people total, and they date. The main characters, Jody and Victoria, they get married. Carly and Leon, they're dating. Jody has some issues that he's dealing with through life, and eventually his issues bubble over, and they start to affect his personal life and those around him.
Okay.
Yes, he's relatable because every female just about has said, oh, you know so-and-so, oh, he's crazy. So he is too. And you can relate. It is a lot of love and loyalty, a lot of betrayal, a lot of deceit. Got some really hot erotica scenes in it. It's just a really good read. It's a sit back and grab you a glass of wine and put your feet up type read. The entire series.
Okay. I like those books that shock me. I like that T Styles type of writing. You know what I mean? I'm talking about everything is on limits. I don't want no restrictions. Nothing gory, but I just being true to thyself as a writer. I want to hear about those things that people were ashamed to talk about. Give me that girl. You know, ashamed to talk about, and here you are talking about it. That's what I love. You have any of that?
I'm sorry?
Do you have any of that in your writing that shocked you?
I do. I also wrote when you said stuff that people don't want to talk about. Because I'm going to tell you right now, I'm not a street lit author, and I'm not going to say I'm not writing that at present, but I am willing to explore. As I stated, the series is a contemporary series. Freakism is an erotic novella, and it is very, very, very erotic.
Gotcha.
And yeah, it's one of those along the lines of whips and chains and dungeons.
Okay.
Yeah. So I did explore, and that is a book that it touches on fetishes and fantasies, and what do you have? You know, really, really good book. You should check that out.
I wrote one or two erotica stories myself, so I stretched the limits. You know, so I understand it. And when you tend to do that, I think that's the dark side coming out of people.
It could be.
Here you go. I have to keep them guessing. Okay.
Well,
your top five authors, dead or alive.
My top five authors, dead or alive. Dead or alive. I said dead or alive, correct?
No, dead or alive. Any of them.
Oh, right.
Dead
or alive. Okay. Okay. Quan.
Okay.
Evie Towers.
Who?
Evie Towers.
Okay,
we're going to
talk about that in a minute. Go ahead.
Cole Hart.
Okay.
And let me see, what is that, three?
That's three.
T-Styles. Yes. And Ashley Antoinette.
Okay. Those are some good names. Now, who was your second favorite? I love authors. I love writers. I'm a proverbial, author / reader. Who is
Evie
this?
Towers.
I never heard of them.
It's spelled, and I could be saying it wrong, but it's spelled Y-V-I-E, and her last name is Towers. I read a book by her, and it's called Whiplash. And
it's historical fiction, historical African American fiction. She's a phenomenal writer, phenomenal. And I'm adding her to the list because she has a Whiplash and a Backlash. Those are the two books that I've read by her, but I know that whatever she writes, I'm guaranteed to buy it.
Wow, I got to look that one up. You got me all opened up now.
Please okay. do. She's awesome.
Who?
I said, please do. She's awesome.
Yeah, I you know, behind your back, I'm going to do that, you know. Okay, what would you categorize your books as? You know, you said you don't write urban lit,
not
urban
yet.
Fiction. So
not yet.
What category, what genre of style of writing would you say you
Man,
would fall
is realistic fiction an option? But if it's not, then I would say contemporary fiction or erotica, since I write in both genres.
Mm-hmm. You know, contemporary fiction always kind of screwed me. This is my neuroticism here speaking. But when they say contemporary fiction, the word contemporary means present. You know, present time. Virtually
Correct.
everybody writes, even in urban fiction, right in present time. So I don't get that part.
Well, the only reason why I would throw contemporary on there is simply because, yes, it is present time. In addition to that, it's not a lot. It's no inner city. It's not big flashiness. It's not
mm-hmm.
up top. It's down south. My street and your street, I don't know where you're from, but I'm just saying, your street in general, our street may be different. Okay, see, well, then I know for a fact that my street and your street is different, way different.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying? So
yeah.
I would look at it as, like I said, a kickback, have a glass of wine, put your feet up. It's
Got
this
you.
Relaxation.
Mm. So what contemporary author, if you had to do a mirror or somebody you said, okay, what author style of writing that, you know, I can get information that you write about, what authors would that be to get a sense of what style of writing you write like?
You know what? I don't want to answer that. And the only reason why I say that is because I don't want to
the reason I ask that is, you know, I came up on them streets and those little in those book fairs and things like that, and those are the questions that, you know, the past buyers that you pitch your book to ask. Okay, I don't read books like those. What books are those? You know what I mean?
Right.
And sometimes you gotta actually sell yourself.
Well, you know what? All right, I'm gonna answer the question.
Yeah.
I had a lady at my church that
right.
said to me, she said, "Oh my gosh, I love your style of writing. It almost has a Carl Weber feel."
Got you.
Okay. Now, okay, I understand that it might not be Carl Weber yet, but give me some time. If for anybody
God.
That's sitting here listening like that girl, no, she ain't Carl Weber. I know, but
no,
I'm not Carl Weber yet.
I feel you. You know.
And on the same token, on the erotic end, and this is actually it can be seen. There's a review left for Freakism that said it was a small comparison to Zane.
That's an amazing compliment there, my sister.
Absolutely. And I know I'm not Zane, and I'm not trying to compare my little 1 year to her 30. I'm not, but I'm just saying, I'm coming.
Go ahead, my sister. Now, I'm a hustler. Like I said, I am a hustler. You're on the street. You're at a book fair. And one of the most important things an author have to do is sell thyself.
Absolutely.
Right here, right now, to all the people who's listening, I want you to pitch yourself, your books, for them to buy your book. Give it to us.
Okay. So you know I'm an author, right? Now you say yes.
Yes.
Great. My name is Forever Red, and I have written a series entitled Sleeping in Heaven, Waking in Hell. But it's not what you think. Now, I'm going to ask you to read this book, because inside this book, there are bits of pieces of your life and my life and your best friend's life. And this right here is going to be the book that could possibly change your life. And I know I don't know you from a can of paint, but I guarantee you some of your life is in this book, because everything in this book is real life. I guarantee it. And I tell you what I'm going to do. If you buy this book, I'm going to let you go ahead and get the second one free. Just because I know if you read the first one, you're guaranteed to want to read the second one. The good part about it is you walk away with a buy one, get one free deal, and here I am out here asking for $10. You getting two books for $5. I bet you ain't going to get that over there on his table.
Yo, sis, for real, I've been up here a long time, and trust me, I judge an author by their pitch, and you pitched that. You really
I killed it, right?
You killed it. You sold me on that.
Thank you.
You really did. And the reason I wanted to say that is to see if you, that consummate author, if you got to have personality, you know, to sell these books, you know, and you nailed it, and I'm proud of you.
Thank you.
Okay, we got about 5 minutes left. I want you to run down all your books, your email information, your Facebook information. I'm talking about give us everything, because they waiting there with the paper. They want to write these books down, so you can start right now, my sister.
Absolutely. I am on Facebook at Vernetta, V like Victor, E-R, N like Nancy, E, T as in Tom, A, space. Forever Red, with two D's on the end. Last name Odom, O-D-O-M. If you're not friends with me, just start typing it. Somebody you know is. It'll show up. Okay, that's on Facebook. You can also find me on Instagram at red_writes, W-R-I-T-E-S, 803. I'm on Instagram and Twitter. I don't use Twitter. But if you do hit me up, you will find me at Southern, S-O-U-T-H-R-N. Delight, D-L-I-T-E 803. You can also find me maybe by Forever Red, but I'm not sure how it works. As far as Amazon, you can find me the same place. I have a series, Sleeping in Heaven, Waking in Hell is the first one. Sleep No More is the second one. Blessed by the Fire is the third one. I also have an erotic novella entitled Freakism, as well as an insertion in the erotic compilation Come For Me with Cash and several of his other authors. And the best place to find me is on your Kindle. I'm also at V like Victor, O, D like Dog, O, M, the number 4, at yahoo.com. That's my PayPal information, because I do paperbacks too.
Wow.
That's it.
You did that in the record time, you know. Yo, I got people hitting me on my inbox saying, yo, you rocked it.
Thank you.
You are something special. I think you got more in you than you think you do. That's my only complaint.
Oh, we gonna find out.
Yeah, you got it, my sister. You know, we got like 2 minutes left. So, did you name your books?
Yes, I did. So, in that few minutes, I just want to thank you a billion times over for the opportunity to speak with you. You have no idea what.
Hello? Hello? Okay. Hello? You there, Red? Okay, we have a little technical difficulties. Luckily, for the sake of this show and for the sake of Red, she did such a phenomenal job. I am on her bandwagon right now, and I'm so impressed by this person, this woman, this author. Great writer, very articulate, very confident. And anyone that's listening, go check her out. Go to Amazon.com right now, punch in her name, and give her a shot, you know what I mean? And I'm sure you would not be disappointed. And as for, I want to thank all the callers. Of course, I want to thank the famous, the tenacious Felicia Brown. Bradshaw. My bad, Flea. But I want y'all to listen out for the show every week. We'll be here doing our thing. And most of all, I want to thank Forever Red. I'm getting these inboxes by the droves right now that's saying she's right. You know, she's did a really good job. So check her out. And again, this has been Treasure Blue and the Blueprint. You guys have a nice evening, perfect weekend, and next week we got a treat for y'all. We're giving out Amazon gift cards. This is Treasure Blue from the Blueprint. See you next week. Bye-bye.